Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go to the Western Hotline now as Thor Nystrom from Roto-World and NBC Sports joins us here on Sports Talk Saturday to talk a number of things. But more importantly, Thor is a community member of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the community that has sort of been the driving force behind everything we're seeing across the country and frankly across the world. So I wanted to bring Thor in to get his thoughts on what's happening in his community, what's moving forward, and kind of his experience. So Thor, first and foremost, thank you for joining me and spending some time. And secondly, thank you because, you know, you've used your platform to educate people what's been happening in your community. And if it weren't for people with platforms using it and showing people the ugly truth of what's happening, we probably aren't at a flashpoint that we are right now where, you know, just here in Buffalo, you know, there are police that are being charged with crimes. So none of that happens without, you know, kind of shining the spotlight on what's been happening. So first and foremost, thank you for first being here and giving us your time. But for everything that you are doing with your platform, it is appreciated, whether or not people that are tweeting back at you agree or not.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks. Good to be with you guys. And yeah, you know, I think that the use of the platform like that, you know, especially living in Minneapolis, you know, and everything that's happened since, you know, I saw the video, the first one, you know, on Tuesday, last Tuesday. So it's been about 10, 11 days now. And it's just the right thing to do, you know, especially, you know, you get, like you were saying, you know, the responses you get from people, sometimes you get that stick to sports thing. And, you know, I'm just sort of thinking, show me a box score. Yeah. I'll get back to that when we get sports back.
Right, right. That's the sad truth of it, right? I mean, you know, give me something to talk about and I'll do it. Otherwise, this is what we need to talk about. It just is. And, you know, your community, Thor, is reeling. And I know a good friend of mine here that's in the media, works for another radio station, is actually planning on moving from Buffalo to Minneapolis over the next 2 months here. And so he's kind of like, holy cow, you know, like these two communities that one I live in, one I'm moving to, you couldn't have maybe more, you know, just tumultuous relations with law enforcement in the community than those two right now. And I guess where I want to start with you, Thor, is how is your community sort of recovering, healing over these last few days? And being from that community, what does it mean to the people in your community to see, you know, 20 days later, maybe more, right? Where we have in Buffalo, we had our biggest turnout yesterday, our largest by far turnout of peaceful protesting past the curfew, no violence whatsoever across the country. You look in Europe, in England, 30,000 people in front of Big Ben. Like, it. I have to think that if you're someone in that Minneapolis community, knowing how people were looking at you guys, but now you're looking out and seeing the support, I have to imagine that says something to you guys.
Oh, it does. Yeah. The community response here has been incredible. You know, obviously the first couple of days, you know, it's sort of like, you know, the stages of grief, you know, in some ways, you know, at first there was a lot of anger here, obviously. And then, unfortunately, for a couple of days, we had, it seems like folks from out of state were trying to come in, opportunistic folks, and get in on the looting and the destruction and stuff like that. But, you know, and then we had the crackdown, you know, and you had the curfew and you had the National Guard coming in here. And that was crazy too. You know, I had friends and folks in neighbor. I live in Uptown in an apartment, but folks that lived in neighborhoods, you know, in houses and stuff like that, they would have block meetings, you know, talking about how they were going to barricade off the start of their block and what to do if a fire started in one of the, you know, the houses along there, how they were going to deal with that. And then these guys were, they're packing overnight bags too, like to get them and their families out immediately if their house started on fire. And so that was sort of the reality of some of those early days. You know, but like things have really started to turn the other way now. Like I went out last night and it was just a really beautiful vibe around the city. You know, people are being nice to each other, being kind to each other. We have peaceful protests every single day outside of Cup Foods, you know, the site of where George Floyd got murdered. Peaceful and not only peaceful, but I had a buddy who works in Pizza Luce, one of the big pizza places here. They brought down 50 pizzas yesterday down to that site. You know, and the peaceful protesters ate those up real quick. You have a bunch of people down there barbecuing for the protesters, people bringing down supplies, supporting them in, you know, in all sorts of ways. And it's turning the other way now, you know, where it's becoming more about, a thing of positivity and togetherness, you know, and pushing towards, you know, what everyone's looking for, which is social reform and equality.
You know, Thor, it is really difficult because, you know, with our platforms also comes a responsibility, right? And maybe that sounds dumb or maybe that sounds, you know, maybe I'm being too dramatic in saying that. I don't think so. But what I think we are responsible for, and I had this just really great conversation this morning. It was via text message, you know, it wasn't over the phone. And you know, sometimes the emotion or the nuance of these conversations can get lost when you aren't having them person to person and you're not hearing the emotion in another person's voice. But, you know, I have a federal law enforcement agent as a very good friend of mine. And some of the things that he was trying to convey to me made me, and he was just disappointed to see that some of my tweets may have come off as very anti-police. And it is difficult, right, to sort of separate, you know, the fact that there are several hundreds of thousands of good police officers in this country, but it is also important for them to recognize that, you know, they too have a role in this, and it's a large one. And I guess my question for you is, how do you balance, you know, understanding that, you know, parts of our community that we'll never fully understand their hardships, their pain, because we just were white. And that's just something we're not going to be able to ever understand, right? But at the same time, I think it's important for us to not be people that are, you know, inciting violence against the police, because that is, in some cases, what is happening. The rhetoric about police, like, he's telling me he's got young kids, he's worried about going home after work. Like, those are things that you don't necessarily think about. So for you and your own personal battle with this is, how do you create that balance and trying to, again, pander, it almost seems, right? But you're not. You're really just being a human at the end of the day. And that's what I think is so hard about this situation, having opinions about one side doesn't mean that I am villainizing 100% of the other side, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a tough balancing act, you know, and it's like every time you sort of shine a light on the police brutality, you know, and we get new videos every day, and unfortunately, you know, you guys in your area provided the country with one of them, you know, in the past couple of days with Mr. Torgalski. But every single day we get new videos like that. And when you put that out, you're going to have people on the other side that think that just because you're shining a light on that side of it, that, you know, that you're advocating, you know,
right.
Whether it's, yeah, I mean, you know, certainly anti-police rhetoric, but, you know, some people are going to take it way the other way and think that you're, you know, sort of suggesting whether it's, you know, brutality against police or, you know, some kooky opinions or whatever. I guess my take on it is you've had this institution for a real long time now that hasn't really had any opposition. They have police unions. They have, you know, in a way where they, not only do they enforce the law, but they control the law. They're above the law. And these people haven't been held accountable. The minority groups that they have oppressed have certainly not felt that their voice was being heard. That's what this entire thing is about. And so forgive me, you know, with some of these kooks on Twitter that are tweeting at me, it's like, forgive me for using the last 10 days of my platform when there wasn't sports on to try to shine a light on this, when this, again, this institution has, you know, racial oppression, brutality, all these different things over all these years where it wasn't called out. I mean, that's all that this minority group was asking for all this time, the Black Lives Matter, all these different things. They just wanted their voice heard. And so to be able to shine a small light on that, I think it's certainly the least I can do, especially, you know, living in Minneapolis through this time. But the other thing is, like, the cops and those folks, they didn't have people with large platforms that were shining a light on this before. So, again, spare me the whole thing of, like, you can't say anything negative about the cops. I think that this is a time for system reform or even system overhaul, because of the treatment that's gone on, you know, and at this point it's all documented, you know, like we've seen all the videos from these past 10 days. Imagine what it was before with these groups where, you know, where either you didn't have cell phones or people just weren't listening, you know? So I think that this is a really good time to have these conversations, to document some of these things and to start tossing out ideas about, you know, this isn't just about consternation or being irate in the moment. What this is, again, what this is about is social justice and equality. What this is about is not yesterday, not necessarily today. It's about tomorrow. How are we going to change the system going forward? And to pretend that there's not a problem, it's not going to be a means to an end to that solution.
Got Roto World's Thor Nystrom. I combined there. Thor Nystrom here on the West Her Hotline. Thor, I do want to get a sports angle in here. But more importantly, the last several days have been quite a whirlwind for Saints quarterback Drew Brees. I mean, it has just been as difficult for just about any, like the whole league essentially kind of took the time to make sure that Drew Brees knew and sort of checked Drew Brees on his original thought. He kind of then goes out and apologizes twice. And some of those, that apology is sort of received mixed, right? Like some people are like, okay, you know, this is a guy that's learning, or okay, this seems like a guy that is just, you know, he's sorry that it came off the way that it did. He's not really sorry about actually thinking what he was thinking and conceptualizing what he said. And then the president weighed in. And then Drew Brees again had to come out and sort of make a statement, right? And now I wonder if, because he was sort of forced to do that for a third time, that maybe now there is a faction of some of the African-American players in the league that maybe took a very harsh stance against Drew are now saying, you know, maybe this guy can be our champion on, you know, the other side, is a guy that can show you can think one way, but your mind can be changed by the people around you. And I wonder what your take is on the last few days for Drew Brees and maybe what he can do from here on out to be a champion for his black friends and family and brothers and teammates.
I think that's a 1,000% true. And, you know, sometimes, well, first of all, you know, with some of these issues, you have this sort of politicization that goes on. And I think that that's what happened to Brees, you know, and, but also of course Brees, he wasn't thinking through, well, some people might argue that he was thinking through what he was saying, but he wasn't thinking through the implications of that to this group. You know, what he was saying, I mean, like, you know, he and the folks now, you know, that are sort of backlashing against his apology, you know, the idea is like, well, you know, all Drew was saying is that, you know, you have to respect the country and the flag. But if you thought through the topic at all, you would know that making that stance in that moment to that specific question is saying, you know, that both support of, you know, kneeling, you know, support a peaceful protest and almost, you know, almost by implication, you're sort of opposing, you know, the movement going on right now. I mean, that's just any person thinking about that would sort of know that. But, you know, the fact that he did apologize afterwards, I thought that was big. I thought the backlash was big too, because the point of it is, we all have to think about this stuff. You know, like you were talking before, we're white guys, right? And Drew Brees is a very, very privileged white man. he wouldn't necessarily, I suppose, have to think this stuff. I mean, you know, in his own private interior world, even though professionally he's been around a lot of these minority groups, he's been around black players all of his life. And it became clear in sort of, and I think this is where the anger was. It became clear in that sort of answer that he had not thought through the power of his words, the weight of his words, but also sort of the power and the necessity of that movement itself. And so to say, like, you know, I'm against anyone that disrespects the flag. It's like, well, you're saying you're against sort of all your black brothers and sisters in this moment. Because it's not about the flag or the anthem. That's not what Kaepernick was doing. You know, Kaepernick was he had talked to, you know, as you know, the Green Beret Nate Boyer, and you know, the, I mean, we don't have to get into all that about what the kneeling meant and stuff like that. But I mean, he was trying to make a very specific statement. It didn't have anything to do with anti-America. I view it as very pro-America. You know, trying to, again, we're working for a better tomorrow. You know, and what does that social reform look like, and how do we go about getting it? You know, and then as far as like what's gone on since with Breeze, apologizing, I thought that was good. You know, I mean, you have to, and even if, you know, there's been, you know, he may have been apologizing for the fact that there was the backlash that may have, you know, and I've seen people criticize him for this. That was the reason that he had to do it. But even so, Drew Brees is now certainly aware, whether it came through the pain of a shot to his ego or a genuine thinking about the feelings of his brothers, it doesn't matter. His heart and his mind is beginning to change because he was confronted with this stuff. And that's what it's all about. The means to the end don't matter here. It just matters that we get to the better tomorrow. And so to your point, the audience that Drew Brees speaks to, it's a different audience than a lot of the players that were criticizing him for that stance. And so to hear Drew Brees saying these things and then to get in a conversation with the president of the United States, who has a very, very bad take on this topic, to do those things, you're speaking to the, you know, sort of the other side of the aisle. You know, it's like going from the CNN crowd to the Fox News crowd. To have Drew Brees being someone that's now going to be holding the flag for the people, and I'm talking about the different flag, the flag for social advancement and equality. I think you're certainly going to see that going forward. That's what he said. I believe him. It's super duper helpful because the folks that follow him in that sort of way ideologically, I think they're going to have to start to reconsider their opinions on it as well.
Thor, my last thing I wanted to ask you is here in Buffalo, obviously, this week, text messages from Bills rookie quarterback Jake Fromm were released, right, from a former friend or girlfriend along those lines, but essentially released text messages of Jake Fromm using some pretty questionable white supremacist language, essentially, right? Not necessarily racist language, but white supremacist language, which, at the end of the day, don't blur the lines, white supremacy is racism. So are you surprised that we didn't immediately see the Bills like cut him? I know that the Bills kind of came out with a statement. They let him address his teammates. Thor, I found this really interesting. Bills former captain Lorenzo Alexander, we're talking Walter Payton Man of the Year award candidate, came out and said the Bills should not cut Jake Fromm. I found that to be incredibly interesting. Former Bill Shaq Lawson made a statement on Twitter about Jake Fromm, saying he would have checked him at the door. No way he would have been his teammate. So I do find it interesting that this particular team, this locker room, this organization, has not necessarily stood by Jake Fromm, but they didn't fire him. And I do find that to be interesting. I was wondering on what your take was about not only what was said with Jake Fromm, but, you know, the fact that this organization decided not to move away from him and allow him to remain on the roster.
That's super interesting. I didn't know that stuff about the subsequent comments there, you know, both inside and outside the building. You know, I think that's something where, I certainly would have considered cutting him on the spot. It's a leaked text conversation, but it's pretty brutal. Like you said, it's both white supremacist and it's racist. You know, really badly so. I think the other thing is you have to listen to the folks in the locker room. You know, obviously you have to get Fromm's side of it, although, you know, I do have to say, I'm sorry, but like Fromm's apology was utter BS.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like, dude, get if you can't feign, you know, actually being sorry in this moment, like, get someone to write it for you. You know, it's like it was like he was leaning on sort of like, this is how I was reading it. Like, he was saying, oh, it was just a text conversation. And, oh, you know, sorry that I used this specific verbiage. And it's like, well, no, I mean, you're sort of implying that whether it's one race should be armed or whether one race should be given access to specific kind of weapons. And then it was really bad. So, you know, if I'm the Bills, absolutely, I consider cutting him. However, do bring him into I had no problem bringing him into the building to speak to his teammates. But if there had been outrage amongst his teammates, you know, specifically his black teammates, I absolutely would have cut him. I mean, it's just, you can't talk that way privately or publicly.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm's, it seemed like his point on it was, well, it's just a text conversation. It's like, okay, well, show us our text conversations where we're implying to our friends that only one, you know, only white people should be armed or only white people should get silencers. And furthermore, only the elite ones. It's not acceptable to, even privately. It's Jake. That's not something that normal people do. To be able to text that to your buddy privately, you are holding some sort of racism in your heart. You just are. Now, again, it's a thing where, like, you know, back with the Breeze thing, this might be a really good shot to change someone's mind who, whether these things were implicit, explicit, whatever, like inside of his consciousness, his soul, whatever, this might be a really good shot to completely reform a human being.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you have an argument on the other side of it, like, let's keep Jake in the building. Maybe this is, you know, we usually talk about quarterbacks as these guys are the leaders of the team. It sounds like Lorenzo Alexander and some of those guys are, you know, the true leaders of the team. Like, let's change Jake's heart, you know, and maybe this guy can become an advocate. I wouldn't assume that that's going to happen. I would keep a very close eye on Mr. Fromm going forward. Mm-hmm. He'd have just about, you know, a one strike.
Yeah. Zero leeway for the rest of the way, for sure.
Exactly. But I have no problem listening to those folks when it comes to, you know, what Jake Fromm's role should be with the team, you know, in the immediate future.
Thor, I just wanted to, again, thank you for making time for me and this program and this station in this city. I think it was important for my listeners, people that are listening to the station right now, to hear the perspective of someone who was, you know, in that community, in the Minneapolis community, and was there from the start of this, and continue to be a voice for the people that need voices that don't have them. So I really appreciate your work. I'm just, that goes beyond the sports world, Thor. Keep doing you, man. I'm proud to say that, you know, I've never met you in person, but, you know, I've got beer and a single order of chicken wings waiting for you anytime you come down to Buffalo. And I really hope that's something we can shake hands and, you know, and hash out things that white people should care about more. And I'm glad that you're an ally in that. And I just want to make sure you knew that and make sure you know how appreciative I am that you made time to talk about this with me and here in this community. So I do really appreciate it, man.
Done and done. Thanks so much, man. Yeah, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about these things. I mean, good for you for using your platform that way. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Let's do it again soon. And enjoy the rest of your weekend here, and hopefully some good weather, some open restaurants, and maybe some normal life things here will help us all a little bit. We appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, Nate. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely, you as well. Thor Nystrom of RotoWorld and NBC Sports there on the Wester Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.